They say life begins at 40. Age is just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! It's what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and...
Mommy, Daddy...
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
We're wrapping up the first year of the 40-ish podcast, and Stephanie, of course, because it's the Christmas season, is not here this week. So we have a guest host. Or would you prefer hostess? I don't know how that goes. I'm trying to be sensitive.
Oh, I'm cool with host.
Okay. Kim Inge is here, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm here.
And she actually very conveniently has a business located right across the hall from where we record these things. And you're a mutual friend between Stephanie and I. You and I have known each other for several years through other things.
Right. Yeah. I don't even remember. Was it Waterfront?
I think Friends of the Waterfront at first. But I remember when when I was selling advertising at Louisville.com and you were at the Science Center.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. You wouldn't take my phone call or take the appointment. And I just really needed you to see me that day.
Probably because I had no power when I worked at the Science Center.
Well, all right. That was probably...
So many years
probably,
ago.
Probably, 9 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So,
oh, no, at least 10. Because I quit working there when I had my first son, and he's 10 half-ish.
Right.
So.
Well, let's get into that before before we get into much else. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
That's why this is going to be so easy for you, because everybody likes to talk about themselves.
It's very true.
Now, Stephanie recommended you as a co-host for this because I'm going to go ahead and assume that you are in the 40-ish age range. You don't appear to be as such to me, but...
Thank you. I'm not quite 40.
Okay.
I am 37.
Oh, wow. See, okay. That's how you can walk around with purple hair.
Right?
I don't have purple hair.
Yeah. I didn't know if I could pull it off, but I get a lot of compliments, so...
So you're really... So what is that part your birth year at?
79.
Okay.
The very end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're a trail end Gen Xer.
Yeah.
Right?
When I look it up, I'm like on the cusp of both.
Okay. I am a... Die right in the middle of Generation X.
Okay.
They say it's 62 to 82, and mm-hmm. I'm 72.
Right.
So you can't get more middle kid than me.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you have how many children?
3 kids.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they're 10, 7, and then my youngest will turn 5 the day after Christmas.
Our kids are almost exactly the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 11, 9, and 6.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is that weird part of the year. They're going to change in January. At least 2 of them are. So I'm like, should I round them up? But I don't want to round them up. I've started rounding myself up for some reason.
No, don't do that.
I did. My kids would say I'm 44 and a half.
Right. They love
me. But I, for some reason, I kept telling people the first half of this year that I was 45. Or like, I'm almost 45. I'm not. I wasn't.
No,
I was 40. Why am I giving myself more?
More age?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, you know, like we say around here, age brings wisdom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I don't know if I prepared you for the words of wisdom at the end of this podcast.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, no.
We do have a guest that we're going to have on. Sean Miranda from Hilliard Lyons will be in to talk about, I know this is part of being middle-aged, is you got to really, really buckle down on the retirement thing. And it sounds, oh, God, do I really have to listen? Sean's funny. He's one of the funniest people I know. I don't know that this humor will come out here, but I'm going to try to get it to come out. And he's going to talk about, for those of us who have waited too long to save, or for years in my 20s, be like, you need to save 10% of your money, save 15%. Had I done that, I'd feel a lot better. So I have to imagine there are a lot of people out there who are in that boat.
I'm sure.
So we'll learn some stuff from Sean there. But tell us about your business. What are you...
And
how you got into that whole thing.
Sure. So my business is called Milk and Baby. It's an online retail store. So it's milkandbaby.com.
Well, I have to charge you for that.
Dang it. and so it's, we sell, I say we sell maternity clothes, but really the focus is breastfeeding clothes, labor and delivery clothes, and postpartum clothes. So things to make new moms feel beautiful.
Okay.
And make things easier for them.
So you're not selling baby clothes. You're selling like grown people clothes or adult clothing is what the scientific term for
that. Yes, there's a few baby gifts in there, but most of the things are clothes for moms.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and why? Why is this?
So I have a business partner, and we couldn't really find cute stuff to wear when we were breastfeeding and new moms that were cute. Bras were ugly, clothes were hard to breastfeed in. So we just decided together to start a business and do it. So,
okay, so you have to source this clothing from somewhere, or are you making it?
No, we source it.
Okay, so, it's out there. It was just not aggregated.
Yeah, so we're kind of like a department store, and we sell probably at least 40 different brands.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can get the clothes at that brand's website, but you're only going to get that
brand.
What
did you do? What did you do before that?
I was an event planner.
Okay.
So, in the marketing department. And I have a business degree. So, my strengths are marketing, operations, annoyingly, the finance part, even though I hate it. But my business partner refuses to do that part, and it's important to me. Okay. So, I do that part. She is more of the technical IT website-y person, graphic design.
She's the left brain and you're the right.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're using the skills that you had previously taken advantage of and educated and required of that were born into you. So you're using that.
Yep.
Okay. We've talked frequently about entrepreneurship and career changes on this show.
Okay.
Because at our age, I've been in the workforce for 22 years. You do anything for that long, you might get a little bored at it. I'm not saying I'm bored. I enjoy what I do and the whole thing. And I did somewhat evolve about 10 years ago. But there are some people who do complete 180s. Mm-hmm. You do not consider yourself as one of those people.
I'm kind of like, I don't know. I think a lot of moms go through this probably. They have their kids stop working because childcare is too expensive. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of get not. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a stay home mom because I was that for a long time. But for me, I got kind of bored. I needed something to fill my time with.
Was that because you weren't around adults enough?
Yes.
Oh. I can totally.
Yeah. I mean, I did play groups like all the time because I needed that adult interaction. So yeah. I started doing freelance work with event planning, and I thought that's what I was going to end up doing. But when this opportunity came along. It was just something.
It didn't come along. You created it.
Created it. But
don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, I was really scared to do it, to be honest. But I'm glad I did.
Well, what did it take to do that?
Okay, so first of all, I had to push past the fear because it is really scary, and your brain is telling you don't do this. This is really scary.
What was the scary part?
I mean, just putting in money.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, yeah, we actually started, I think, with a total of $5,000. So it wasn't even a giant, crazy thing, but just doing it, like putting in a little bit of money, committing to this is what I'm going to do. It was scary. Okay. So I had to push past that. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
What are we talking about?
Now I lost my train of thought. Oh my gosh. We're having senior moments right here on.
I know. What were we talking about?
Yeah, what did it take to get it started and how?
Oh, yeah, I know what I was going to talk about. How the really cool part of it was that we based it around our life. So we are, I can say we because this is my business partner, Beth and I. We don't work full time and we still don't work full time. And when we started, we wanted something that we could do that we could still be with our kids when we needed to, get them to school, pick them up from school, volunteer in their classrooms, go to their performances.
Do all the stuff,
yeah. And also have a business. So we probably will eventually go full-time because it is growing, and it is to the point we were working a lot more than we did when we started.
Mm-hmm. For how long ago? How long has it been?
4 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We started out of a little room in her house and a teeny little closet full of inventory.
But you do. Like, you guys have – this is not a retail location here, but it's certainly – I assume it's grown to the point where you have to – You either had to get stuff out, or you're like, you know what? We started this so we could see adults and get away from kids.
Yeah. No, we had to move because we were outgrowing her the room with inventory. So now we have, across the hall, we started with a one-room office. That was getting full. And so the office next door to us opened up. And so we opened the door. And now we have three big rooms with our own bathroom. So
that's
exciting.
That's the dream.
I know. So exciting. And then we honestly are about to outgrow that space. But I want to wait till my son is in kindergarten. My youngest is in kindergarten next year before we move, because his preschool is right around the corner.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
easy. Isn't that the best part about doing your own thing, is you can mold it around your life,
right,
rather than the other way around, yeah, which so many of us are in that boat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Company got sold this past year. I'm having to think about what somebody else is going to decide,
mm-hmm,
on my behalf.
Yeah.
And then I'll just have to adjust my life,
yeah,
around that.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing that you, over the course of my career, I've gotten used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm good at it at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell it. What do you do, like, for fun and stuff?
Maybe
you say, hey, I work for fun. I don't know.
No, for fun. What do I do? I mean, mostly I like to hang out with my friends for fun, go out drinking.
Okay. There you go. I mean, live music, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Actually, we just bought our tickets to Romp. We always, it's the early bird. You have to buy it. You had to buy them by Friday or by Sunday. But it's a big bluegrass music festival in Owensboro every year in June.
Nice. I wonder if my sister goes to that.
Does she live in Owensboro?
No. She lives in Madison.
Okay.
But don't take offense of this. I sometimes make fun of her because the music she likes is washboards and banjos.
Yeah. The cool thing about Romp.
I'm kind of a Metallica guy.
Oh, yeah. I like everything. And I wasn't sure. My in-laws are the ones who went to it every year and said, you have to come. It's so fun. And I was like, oh, bluegrass. I can appreciate it. I don't know if I want to go to a festival. But it's so fun. And it does range from
Do you take your kids to that? Family experience?
Yeah. We usually do. Last year we didn't. We were able to get my in-laws live in.
Okay, so it depends on whether or not you have to take them.
Right,
or not.
Exactly. It's family friendly.
I'm pretty good at reading between the lines.
It's family friendly, but at night, it's nice to be able to not have them. During the day, it's fine.
Yeah,
but,
of course. Yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, if I could take my kids on half a vacation.
Yes, exactly.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
All right. Well, great to get to know you a little bit. We're gonna take a little quickie break here.
Yeah.
And when we come back, Sean Miranda will be here to tell us how to catch up on our retirement.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harned, Pat Forty.
I'm with Anoush Shariot, Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
Sean Miranda is here. You guys don't know him, but I do, which is why I chose to have him on.
Thanks for having us.
And I've told everybody that you're funny.
I'm funny now, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Lots of
pressure. I'm on fire.
Now you have to bring the humor.
Thanks.
And the know-how.
We're here to talk about Rogue One or Walking Dead. Retirement plan.
Rogue One comes out tonight. Oh, it came out. I guess they did screenings last night.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I thought people already saw it.
I need to pencil that in for the weekend.
Absolutely.
So you're an expert on The Walking Dead as well?
I try, yes.
How do you feel about that, the way this season has gone?
Well, since I don't watch sports, that is my sport. I love tracking, watching Walking Dead and following all those characters. It's a lot of fun.
What are your thoughts on Negan?
I'm a fan.
Are you?
I think he's the best evil character that they've had on the show.
So annoying. I can't stand him.
I don't
so
like him
annoying.
Either.
Oh, you don't?
No.
That stupid sarcastic tone he takes and the condescending.
Yeah,
like,
his look.
Okay, bro, we get it. You're a
bleep. I think there's more.
I try to keep it clean on this show.
I don't know.
Good to know.
I think there's more to him.
You can say a-hole. He's an a-hole. We get it. You're powerful. Anyway, yeah. We're not here to talk about death and zombies.
Then what
we're here? We're here to talk about what you're marginally good at, which is
okay.
helping people plan for retirement.
Financial planning. Okay. More exhilarating than every TV show and movie they tell.
He's not marginally good at it. He's very good at it. Shouldn't
Thank you.
Say that. Yeah. I've known you for several years now.
Yeah, probably 10 or 12 years.
Easy. Easy. Yeah. We started in Leeds Club. That's how
I
met him.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it was me and his cousin, who's the drummer in the band, said, hey, you know, I get together with my family and some other people, and we try to swap sales leads.
Oh,
and that's
Leeds.
Where I met Sean and his dad and his mom. Did your mom go to that?
I think she dropped by on occasion, yeah.
Yeah, and Darren, your cousin?
It's a family affair.
Who's done some legal. Everybody's bought. I've bought stuff from all of those people, and I'm the only person that ever sold anything.
Exactly.
That's just the way. I got my attorney. I got my financial guy, almost my insurance guy out of
That's
anyhow.
Fine.
So you spend a great deal of time talking with people about how they can be comfortable and productive in retirement.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah absolutely. My main job is to help people reach certain goals, and that may be college planning, retirement planning, any type of large goal that you have in mind, and protection, you know, protecting those assets as you grow them.
Mm-hmm. So when you are, I guess when you're working with a new client,
yeah,
do most people, we're talking in the context of middle-aged people, right?
Sure.
This whole show is about being in your 40s.
Around the 40 range, okay.
What percentage of 40-ish people you start working with have prepared well?
Well, I tell you, it's oftentimes I get there. I would to their benefit later to the game. Okay, they're not on track, and oftentimes the first question they give me is, "Am I on track? What number should I have at this point in time?"
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through.
Yeah, it's a relative answer, is it not? Like, I don't know. What do you want to do?
It's relative, but I will give you. I tell you, every listener, I'll give them a financial plan right now. Because I've whittled it down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
exciting.
Here's free advice, okay?
Get your pens out.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it could take a pen to understand these numbers, and I'll try not to make everybody fall asleep. So, with a financial plan, there's not a lot of numbers that are... I know, this is a great topic.
I'm just kidding.
And thank you. There's not a lot of numbers that really correlate with retirement. I mean, how much money doesn't matter if you spend a lot or spend very little? What matters most is your income. If you live within your means and you don't incur a tremendous amount of debt, then probably the best indicator of retirement that we can use, the current indicator, would be your income.
Okay.
So I went back and I did some math, and I said, okay, how much, according to how much you make, should you have in your retirement assets? So I know we're talking about 40, but I'm going to talk about a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, and a 50-year-old. And the easiest and probably the best bogey that people should have is when someone is 30 years old and they're newer into the business world and they're working. Let's have an example of a 50-year-old or someone that's 30 and that they're making $50,000 a year.
Okay.
They should have half of whatever they're making that year in retirement savings. So if they're making $50,000, they should have around $25,000 in retirement assets.
Okay.
That's doable, I guess.
Question.
Yeah.
Is that okay, how do I get this out? Is that just for them, or would that be like if you're married, are you looking at people separate? My husband and I, obviously, we're clearly married, but he has the retirement saving things, and because I was a stay-at-home mom, I don't have my own.
Right. Well, it's important. We always look at the entire household.
Okay.
So in our first meeting, we're going through the discovery process. I'm gathering as much data. I'm answering these questions along the way. But really, the first meeting with clients is the data gathering session. So we do look at the whole household and all of the assets that have been saved so far. So at 30 years old, you should have half of the household income in savings in retirement savings.
Okay.
But at 40, whereas a 30-year-old may not be married, now they're married and they have a higher income and so forth, this number starts to accelerate.
Oh.
At the age of 40.
I was hoping it was going to go down.
No, I'm sorry. But at the age of 40, people should have two times whatever their income is in retirement. So let's say instead of making 50.
Oh, that's aggressive, man.
Whew. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I felt good at 30, but now the 40, I don't know.
I know. And the scary part is if they're making now, let's say at 40 years old, they're making $100,000 combined household income, they should have $200,000 in retirement assets. And that could be in the form of.
And that's just a litmus test to see if you're.
Yeah, on track.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Just a. I mean, because any plan that you create a year from now, it's going to be different. You know, lifestyles have changed. Children come into play. I mean, there's a lot of things that change over time. But this is a good indicator of whether or not you're on track or if you need to do something about it. And so at the age of 40, it's a good idea to have two times your salary.
Okay. Now, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that just in like your retirement savings or did you say that's also assets or what did you say that number
anything
came
that you plan on utilizing in retirement. So that could be rental property. It doesn't have to be just – but as long as you're going to use that rental property for retirement.
What about equity in my house? Does that count?
Not really because you're not going to turn that
into – What are you laughing about?
Nothing. I was thinking that too. But
okay.
I was just sad that he said no.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the bad news. Unless you're going to utilize your home and generate income off of that, then you wouldn't really consider that. That's a living asset.
Right.
And then at the age of 50, this is the sad part, is that you should have 4.25 times your income in retirement assets.
All right.
So if you're still at $100,000, you should have around $425,000. And that's to successfully retire at the age – at full retirement age of Social Security, and that's around 66, 67.
Well,
on 75% of your income. So
I cannot even imagine –
Your house will be paid off by then.
I know, but I'm going to have to put three kids through college.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, they can figure it out.
Wait, I have a friend who sold books and knives to pay his way through college. I'm like, if Brian Ferry can do it, you guys, you guys can do it.
They can absolutely.
Jeez,
they can take out loans themselves.
But is this all assuming
they
Sean
can't take out loans? Yeah, it's a high school around Louisville, Kentucky. They really,
I know,
are challenging. You know,
brutal. Mm. So. Is this assuming they live within their means? Like they don't have they have no debt, and they live a lifestyle that will allow them to?
Yes, and that's the question I ask before I go over those numbers is, okay, are you incurring debt? Are you building up debt so you're not living within your means on the income that you're already making? Then that income level really doesn't help that much
because
you're outspending what you make.
Right.
So that's it is a loose term, but it's a good gauge for those that are a little apprehensive about meeting with someone like me and trying to see if there's going to be an obligation to start saving. And there's a lot of I guess behavioral barriers to meeting with people like myself. It's scary.
It is. I don't know why, but it is. I think you're going to feel judged. Maybe,
a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, what? You guys are dumb. What are you, dummies?
I'm Catholic, believe me. I know all about guilt.
Yeah.
We got reconciliation next week and all that kind of stuff, you know, when you get.
I don't have to worry about any of that
stuff.
So
I totally understand, but
But it is. I mean, you want to feel validated that you've lived your life in a way that is constructive, and bringing somebody into inspect something as personal as money would be intimidating. So how do you get past that with people?
Well, you don't walk in with confidence. You should try to leave with confidence. That's the goal when you leave my office with an idea that you can get it done. I mean, there's just steps and more barriers that you have to overcome to get there. Because let's be honest, we want to spend our money now. We don't want to wait until, you know, and spend it on old Dan. I mean, we want to spend it on young, strapping Dan right now.
Old Dan's
right?
A lot of fun.
But you, it's hard to picture yourself retired. It's hard to.
No, it's not.
Most of the people that I meet with when I meet with a married couple, they haven't had a conversation about what they see retirement being with the other spouse.
That's true, and that changes over time too. Because my wife and I always talked about having a dog kennel. Well, we just, but that's not, no, that's changed.
Yeah.
So now I guess we do need to talk about what's going to happen. But we're in the middle of the busiest time of our life when we're looking, I'm generalizing here. People in their middle age are looking after their parents and making sure that their parents are healthy and all that, you know, and happy and all that stuff.
Right.
While they're raising their own children and they're managing a career and they're managing in many cases, a relationship with a spouse or, so it's not it's hard to look forward that far, I guess, because you're just in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. It really is a challenge to really be on the same page as someone else as well, because oftentimes I'll have the conversation and the husband's like, well, we're going to travel. We're traveling to Europe. We're going to travel cross country. And then the wife says, no, we're not. We're going to be spending time taking care of the grandchildren. We're going to take time at home. There's a difference there. And most spouses don't retire on the same day. And so there's a lot of different conversations that have never been discussed before.
Well, like most things in life, if you look at things as either or, you're probably going to be wrong. Life is lived both and.
Correct. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
So you can travel and take the grandkids with you.
As long as you plan accordingly.
As long as you plan accordingly.
That's right.
So I know I'm putting you on the spot with this question. Mm-hmm. And it probably would have been a good one to help you prepare for. But if there were 3 to 5 things that people could do right now, if they're in a little bit of a panic state about their retirement, what can they do?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say...
Yeah, you came to the right place.
You said 3 to 5?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
1 to 2, whatever. give us something.
I tell you, what I stress is that our life continues to change and people have 401ks and all this other stuff from previous jobs. Mm-hmm. Not only is it at other places and you get the statement and you glance at the balance and that's about it, but you also, I would review who the beneficiary is. I'm telling you, it's happened to where I've seen people inherit money that shouldn't. When people have been remarried or they've divorced.
Yeah.
As your life changes, you should take a look at it. It doesn't cost anything. Just review who your beneficiary is and make sure that's exactly who you want. Another idea is just to write everything down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can give someone immediate confidence knowing that they have more than they thought
they
did.
Our lives are bouncing around in our heads. Are you a list person, Kim?
Yeah. Oh,
you like lists?
Crazy list.
It makes you feel so much better. Yeah. Even in the middle of the night, if you're laying awake and you just get up and you just write it all down and go right to sleep.
Absolutely. It really helps. And I think just having everything on one page saying, okay, here's what I owe, here's what I have, here's how much I'm making, here's how much I'm spending, it can give someone some type of idea like, oh, yeah, I can start an IRA. I can save in my 401k. Or I can start saving for college for my children. That's if whatever's important to them.
Yeah.
And secondly, I can
buy a motorcycle.
You can buy a motorcycle, or you may not, depending on
probably not
whether you're allowed to own a
motorcycle. My wife worked in the brain injury unit. I never get a motorcycle.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Nah.
She's seen too much.
Too much. Okay, so write everything down and check your beneficiaries.
Check beneficiaries, write everything down.
That can be painful
getting
for
into
some
debt.
You know, if one of the things that you do write down is a lot of credit card debt,
there is
less bad debt, like a mortgage, and sometimes that's scary, but you can at least you know that there's an end date in sight to that, but credit card debt, car loans, formulate a plan on how you can attack that, and then you can start saving for retirement.
That can be a daunting, but you know what? It's like losing weight. Who wouldn't like to lose a few pounds, you know? It doesn't have to start tomorrow. It can start today.
It can.
You know, and writing it down is a good first step, but then you got to get over the fact that you need to review this stuff with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, I give a lot of credit to my job as just being the person that's, you know, to hold accountability. You know, when I'm meeting with someone every year, you know, when we create some tasks along the way for the following year, they know they have to come back to me, and hopefully those type of missions that we've put them and that we put in place for them will be accomplished by then. So there is just like, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, having a coach, you're going to have a better chance of success than trying to do it on your own.
You don't want to my doctor is he's good. He holds me accountable to stuff. And I see him every 6 months, and I'm scared to death to go in there and look like a dope that I haven't done anything that he told me to. So there is something to be said for that.
That's why Weight Watchers exists and all that kind of stuff, because people have to go in every week and weigh in front of other people, and it matters.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I think, did we learn anything here today?
I think so. I'm pretty excited about the litmus test. Seeing how we're doing.
Yeah. 30, 40, and 50. Half of your income at 30, twice your income at 40.
So if you're not there, then what do you do? You have good to come, come see you and get a plan?
That's a good question.
Yeah, see me or someone that does what I do and try to get an idea of a good game plan. Look at all of your options, like the 401k that you have at work, or if you own your own business, what type of benefits that are out there that may help you, or even your Roth IRA on an individual basis, or an IRA, or 529 plan for college.
Okay, you just threw out a bunch of
stuff,
different products, I guess you would call them.
Sure.
What are the... Now we're getting back into it. I just came up with a new question.
Okay.
What are the easiest things that people can do that they have access to, I guess the most common things that people would have that they don't take advantage of?
Well, I will say that starting up an IRA is not fun. Okay, you're about ready to commit that you're going to write a check and it's going to come out of your checking account every month or every year. So I think a better alternative to that is make sure you take a look at your 401k.
How many people don't take advantage of their 401k?
A lot. There are a lot of people out there.
That's crazy.
It is.
Well, now we're going to get into behavioral finance, but when people get a job and they get this packet of information, there's these benefits that they have to fill out and all of that fun stuff.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. And do you really want to do the homework of knowing what type of mutual fund is in there? Is the expense ratio too high? Should I have large cap, small cap? It's daunting, and so a lot of people just push it off. I'll get to it later. It's not that big of a deal. So I recommend that people take the time just to take a look at what they are offered at work, and if it's a good option, and then there's like a match. If they put in 5% and they're going to get a match of that 5% in there, that's a free return.
It is.
Free money.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you talked me into the health savings account.
I tell you what, that's a hidden gem. I use it myself.
You don't have to have an employer match for that, do you? I mean, anybody can have a health savings account. Is that right?
Well, in order to qualify for a health savings account, you have to have a high deductible insurance plan.
Okay.
So if you have, I'm not going to say bad insurance, but if you have an insurance plan, a health insurance that has a high deductible and qualifies to allow you to have a health savings account, it may be one of the best retirement vehicles that is out there, believe it or not.
Have you heard
yeah, we had one.
Did you?
Yeah, but we we maxed it out pretty, like, we whatever we put aside for, we used it up way too quick. So I don't know.
Kids will do that. I'm
counting on being healthy, of course, as we all are.
Yeah.
But triple tax advantage. You never pay taxes on this stuff, that's from what I can tell.
Right. Possibly, as long as you use it for the right reason. I have to be very specific, of course. Okay. That's my job. But, yeah, the health savings account's a unique vehicle where you can put money in before taxes. Sometimes, and quite often, this is what people should look for, are HSAs, health savings accounts, that can be invested so that they can grow tax-free.
Right.
And then they can be withdrawn tax-free for qualified expenses. If they're not qualified, they have to pay taxes and a 20% penalty
I mean, come on. If you're going to get a MRI or something, that's going to qualify.
Absolutely.
Just don't be a knucklehead and try to get one past the system.
Not going to buy that motorcycle with an HSA.
No. Or, I don't know. Can I buy stuff at the drugstore with it?
You sure can.
Okay.
Yeah, Band-Aids.
Yeah. Love it.
Maybe.
That's all I'm going to need. Band-Aids. For the rest of my life.
You get a lot of Band-Aids. Tax-free.
That and the cholesterol medicine.
Absolutely.
Which is a Band-Aid for my heart.
Oh, damn. Yeah,
I don't really need that. Thanks, Sean. How can people get a hold of you if they like what you've said?
They can.
Or if they want to throw Rotten Tomatoes at you.
You can reach me at, you can give me a call at 502-326-1489. That's here in Louisville. You can also email me at smiranda, that's S-M-I-R-A-N-D-A, at Hilliard, which is HILLIARD.com.
Okay.
Oftentimes people forget that.
Hilliard.
Hilliard.com.
Okay. And you don't use the Twitter, do you? Not professionally?
I don't Twitter. No, I'm sorry.
Twitter's the best. Yesterday was my 8-year Twitterversary.
I don't like Twitter.
I love it.
I like Instagram.
Yeah, it's different. All right, we'll talk about that later. Thank you, Sean, for coming in.
Thank you, Dan.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
could have gone on forever on the Walking Dead stuff.
I do.
The Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, maybe we should do a whole episode on that.
It would be fun.
Yeah. I love that. I can't believe he doesn't like sports, though. I could have sworn he was a massive UofL fan,
really?
But I don't.
I'm not sports at all.
I guess I don't know him very well. Jeez. No. Well, it was good, though, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I could tell you were like, oh, man.
I was so excited. I was so excited for the litmus test to see where we were at.
Well, it's not very fun to think about, and it's certainly, I hope that people got something out of that, and we made a joke about it being boring, but everybody says, oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about money. What'd you say again?
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm just not. Stephanie has talked on here before about her husband. He's kind of a financial guy, and
I'm just not that way.
And so it is interesting to have somebody who thinks about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
who can help.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting story about Sean and me. When I left one job and I had a little bit of money saved up in my 401k, I rolled most of. I'm a low risk guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stand the idea of losing $5 in a bet on the golf course. I hate it. So I rolled most of that money over into mutual funds because you put them in, they're diversified and it's just going to grow. And it's low risk, moderate reward, whatever. But mm-hmm. over the long term, it's great for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
I took $1,000 of that money and invested, this was many, many years ago, in XM satellite radio or Sirius satellite radio, thinking, oh, man, that's really going to be the future. And my brother-in-law had it and loved it and could not say enough about it. I'm like, everybody loves this stuff. I'm going to take $1,000. I'm going to buy this stock. And I bought it at like 5.25.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't give me any. It's whatever. He didn't give me any garbage about that. And it went boop, 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 over the course of 3 or 4 years. It tanked to about 7 cents per share.
Oh, my gosh.
See, that's why I can't do it. But in the meantime, the other mutual funds are growing fine.
Right.
So I'm
that's fine.
Overall, I'm up. So at one point, I'm like, I got to get out of this stupid thing. And he recommended some silly penny stock that is, I don't know, some mineral that they mine out in Nebraska and add to metal to make it stronger.
Okay,
and I bought that at like 7 cents, and now it's up, and I've made my money back and then some.
That's
so
funny.
I'm not in here to pimp him out as some sort of penny stock wizard or anything. He obviously thinks on a deeper level than that.
Yeah.
But he helped me there.
That's cool.
He helps me regularly. So are you comfortable with this?
Oh yeah,
your first podcast.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do one forever.
Well,
so
we'll work
so
on
much.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
It's we have the space.
Yeah,
I have
perfect.
The infrastructure. Something
yeah,
you
I
can do.
I have lots of mommy friends and entrepreneur friends.
How do you feel about turning 40? Do you think much about that?
I try not to think about it, to be honest.
Kim.
I mean, I'm not. It's just
It's wonderful.
Wrinkles.
Nah, hey, whatever. You can read into wrinkles whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I don't know.
You have more perspective on the world. You just, I don't know. It's,
yeah.
To me, I felt like I had arrived, and then all of a sudden, my mom always said everything up to 40 is just pretend.
Okay.
Anything after that is the real deal. So you're living a fake life right now. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's all fake.
No. Well, thank you for sitting in and helping out.
It
I know
was
Stephanie
super
appreciate
fun.
I certainly do, and we want to have you back to talk more at some point.
Yeah, I would love to.
How can we connect with you online?
Online. I would say you can either
milkandbaby.com would be
Well, you can
one.
Email me at kim@milkandbaby.com.
Okay.
Or all of our social media handles are @shopmilkandbaby.
Okay. Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook. We have a Twitter.
You do have a Twitter.
It's not my favorite, but we have it.
The bank that I use has like 71 followers. They don't use it either.
I think all of ours, our Facebook automatically goes to Twitter. That's another.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
And thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.